heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder, we have a special edition of the Christian Research Journal to cover story Responding Like Christ to Transsexuals. And that journal, very appropriate and timely, available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. I was thinking today about Obama's bathroom edict. You remember John F. Kennedy envisioned a man on the moon. Obama envisions a man in a woman's bathroom. Think about the paradoxes. In our crumbling post-Christian culture, we're steeped in a naturalistic worldview. Therefore, on one hand, children are told that human beings are mere molecules in motion. In other words, there's no room for a subjective first-person point of view. And yet, in an ironic twist, children are now to walk lockstep in the belief that they are not determined gender-wise by objective biology, but by an individual first-person subjective conscious feeling regarding gender. Think about it. It is a mind warp. Today I was reading an article by David French titled "President Obama's Transgender Proclamation is Far Broader and More Dangerous Than You Think." And he's absolutely right. French points out that on May 9, Vinita Gupta, head of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, said, and I quote, "Here are the facts. Transgender men are men. They live, work, and study as men. Transgender women are women. They live, work, and study as women." In other words, according to the Department of Justice, it is a simple fact that a man can have a menstrual cycle, that a woman can have a penis, and that men can get pregnant. And then 3 days ago, May 13, the administration threatened every single public school in America with the loss of federal funds unless it adopts the administration's point of view that gender is defined not by biology, but instead by personal preference. So French makes a number of points. First of which is that teaching biology and human physiology will be hate speech unless it's modified to conform to new transgender facts. Teachers will have to take great pains to note that chromosomes, reproductive organs, hormonal systems, and any other physical marker of sex is irrelevant to this thing called gender, which factually is a mere state of mind, at least according to this narrative. Secondly, any statement of dissent whether from teachers or students, is going to be treated as both anti-science and discriminatory. In other words, it's against science and it's discrimination. The argument that a girl with a penis remains a boy will be treated exactly the same as an argument that blacks are inferior to whites or Arabs inferior to Jews. Third point is that public schools will now be even further opposed both doctrinally and legally to Orthodox Christianity. Children are going to be taught not only that their churches are factually wrong in their assessment of sex and gender, but that they're actually bigoted and hateful, kind of like white supremacists. And because the administration's edict is tied to funding, not even civil disobedience can block the enforcement. Unless schools can declare their full and complete independence from federal funding, they will continue to face escalating pressure from the federal government to use their classrooms to transform American culture and values. Think about the remark on May 9 of Attorney General Loretta Lynch. She very deliberately compared the Department of Justice's aggressive actions to guarantee male access to women's restrooms, and of course vice versa, to the fight against Jim Crow. Those words were an unmistakable declaration of political war against people of Orthodox faith. When she uttered those words, she didn't just grotesquely exaggerate the plight of the transgendered, she minimized the reality and memory of past discrimination. No one understands this subject, in my view, as well as Joe Dallas, and that's why I mentioned the particular special edition of the Christian Research Journal at the opening of the show. He has an incredible article in this particular issue, Responding Like Christ to Transsexuals, in which he points out that traditionally, if a man felt like a woman and yet inhabited a male body, his feelings, not his body, were viewed as the problem. They were considered something to be resisted, modified if possible, and contrary to what was. Currently, however, what one is to be determined by is what one feels. And this is an ominous trend when one considers the implications. It is, in essence, an attempt to define reality by desire, knowledge by intuition. And then he talks about a counseling session with a person named Kim. I know I'm a man because I feel like one, Kim screamed at me, leaving me stunned that an intelligent, educated woman subordinated a verifiable truth, her born inalterable state, to subjective, though strongly held perceptions. Again, that from the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. If you don't have a copy, get it. It is available for your support of the ministry. Also, all this month, Doubts About Darwin and the Creation Answer book. All these resources available when you support the ministry. And for those who join the monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI, as Randy mentioned at the opening of the broadcast. We'll be taking your calls live, and the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically is 888-275-4265. You can start calling right now, and for the next hour, a lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Marcellus, listening in Indianapolis, Indiana, WBRI. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I'm glad you read that your monologue actually ties into what I want to ask. Our school districts have somewhat acquiesced to the bathroom issue. And I have small children. I have a small child as well. You know, he's not small, but he's 10 years old. And, I'm a little uncomfortable with this, very uncomfortable with it as a Christian parent. I'm wondering, as Christian, what recourse do we have without, you know, you always want to still have open dialogue and you always want to still be able to share the gospel and you don't want to repel people, but at the same time, you know, I can't let the world crash down on my family either. And I'm just trying to, you know, how do I keep at bay the beast, so to speak, and still have Christian love and light towards those that oppose me? If you understand my question.
Well, I do. And the beast is not a long way off running towards you at this point. The beast is upon us. And we have to recognize that. And the only way in which we ultimately change a culture is by changing the hearts of people. And so many people look at the presidential race that we have going on right now. And I heard one key evangelical voice say that now we have a choice of the lesser of evils, and therefore we shouldn't vote in this election. We should abstain from voting. The truth of the matter is the presidential candidates reflect our culture. That's the reality. They always will. But we should still be involved in voting because our vote is going to have enormous implications for the years that lie before us as yet. But we have to ultimately recognize our responsibility as Christians to be able to give cogent, clear, concise, compelling answers to the questions that the culture is asking. We need to learn how to reach rather than repel. And when Christians do not understand how to think clearly about these issues, they lose by default. The narrative, as I've pointed out in my monologue, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The minute you start thinking about it, you see the ironic twists. You see the self-stultifying statements. But the problem is the narrative is repeated over and over with such dogmatism that unless you can respond with gentleness and with respect, but clearly, the thought is that there is no cogent response on the other side of the ledger. So we as Christians must learn discernment skills and must take seriously our responsibility to train our children in such a way that they themselves can think. They need to learn discernment skills. I will tell you, and I'm thinking about having some of my kids on the broadcast in the near future. One of my daughters was talking about her experience at university, and she said, "Dad, if I had not grown up in this home, had some fantastic teachers in my Christian school, I would not have been able to withstand the onslaught. It would have been virtually impossible." The pressure comes at you from every angle, from your professors to your peers. And to stand up under the withering assault is difficult. And this is one of the reasons that I unapologetically ask people to support this ministry. We are giving clear answers. One of the things that bothers me the most is the major evangelical voices in the evangelical Christian world. They're helping us in reverse oftentimes. What they're saying is either unclear or ends up contributing to a narrative that is decidedly unbiblical, but also unthinkable. And I think of Christian leaders published by Christian presses who are augmenting a narrative that leads to the destruction of the most vulnerable among us. And I think, where are the clear, cogent voices? Well, they're out there. I'm talking to them right now. There are thousands and thousands of you out there that can make a difference. One person with God can make a difference, let alone thousands of those that support this ministry, that stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. This is not about games. This is not about, well, frolicking around in a Christian Disney world. These are serious issues with serious ramifications, and we dare not be silent. We must be always ready to give an answer. Be right back.
Reports that sexual assaults are becoming commonplace on American college campuses have provoked both alarm and debate. It can be difficult to sort through the competing narratives and vitriol surrounding the issue to find a Christian response. But a respectful and considerate pursuit of the truth ought to be the aim of the process. Read the article, Rape and Sexual Violence on Campus, Compassionately Navigating the Deluge of Data, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The willingness of our Lord's original disciples to suffer and die for their faith is one of the most commonly cited lines of argument for the resurrection. But how do we really know that they were killed for their testimony about Jesus Christ? Other topics include digital souls. What should Christians believe about artificial intelligence? How to read historical narrative? Developing an agile apologetic? Human flourishing and the myth of religious neutrality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. In China, we can criticize Darwin, but not the government. In America, you can criticize the government, but not Darwin. That's the sobering quip from paleontologist Junyuan Chen, contrasting the academic freedoms of China and the United States. It shows how the atheistic religion of philosophical naturalism, with its Darwinian evolutionary origins myth, has an iron grip on countless professors and educators in the U.S. Receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward, or the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Thank you.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Stuart, listening in North Hollywood, California on KKLA. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I have a question. When it comes to women's and men's clothes, obviously, as time has changed, certain clothing has changed with time. Men used to wear clothes that were nowadays considered a woman's clothes, and vice versa. How is that biblically viewed today? How does that work out?
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right, because if you look at the clothes of Hebrew men and women, they were very similar. Both sexes wore tunics and cloaks, and the difference was a matter of design and embroidery. But the biblical distinction has always been there. If you look back at the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 22, cross-dressing in order to present yourself as the opposite sex or to deceive someone into thinking that you are the opposite of your biological sex is prohibited, plain and simple. And the same thing is true in the New Testament. Paul talks about it in Romans, cross-dressing, exchanging that which is natural for that which is unnatural. That's what it represents. And so in principle, both the Old and the New Testament speak to this issue.
Okay. One of the issues I have with that and I've thought about is, what if, say, you know, obviously women wear some clothing that now, you know, they wear jeans and stuff, and no one thinks twice. What about men wearing these things like tights and stuff like that? How does that fit out if it's done in modesty? Is that still considered cross-dressing?
Well, I don't think that we have to get into some kind of a legalistic paradigm with this. The whole idea is to deceive others into thinking that you're the opposite of your biological sex. That's what the prohibition is against. You don't have to get legalistic about it or technical about it. It is simply a matter of deception. And obviously, a man wearing tights or a woman wearing jeans does not in any way detract from their masculinity or femininity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because that's something I've always, you know, I have struggled with and I've wondered about, and I've always understood Deuteronomy 22:5 in that aspect, and I just kind of wanted to get some clarification on it.
Yeah, it's just you don't want to present yourself as other than what you are from a biological perspective. That's the point.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Thank you for your call. Back to the phone line. Sandra next in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi.
Oh, hello, Hank. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. I wanted to know what you thought of Prophet Manasseh and the dad master, Prophet Jordan.
Ah, just horrifying that these people represent themselves as Christians, much less Christian leaders. Combination of prosperity gospel, counterfeit revivalism, and hucksterism. So these are people to be very, very wary about. They are very clearly, from my perspective, like wolves in the sheep pen. And that's what Paul warns us about. Watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from among your own numbers, men will distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. Paul called this out. Paul deeply cared about this, and so do I. I mean, the sheep are being deceived by these kinds of hucksters. And the problem is that the most vulnerable people fall for this. People who have sick children, they're particularly vulnerable. I remember one person whose baby died actually put the baby in an ice box, a cooler with ice, drove across the country from the East Coast, or from the West Coast to the East Coast, I think it was, to the Pensacola Revival, as I recall, because that person had heard that they were having resurrections from the dead. The other thing that happens is you have people who are in desperate straits financially, and they're willing to grab onto anything that sounds like it might work. And then you have this message with a person with a Bible in their hand and grandiose speech, and they fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, an empty bauble that looks so good, but in the end dissipates and leaves them empty. So these are teachers who are false prophets in our midst, and there are many. I believe Manasseh Jordan was even sort of ordained or given the stroke and the cloak of authenticity by Benny Hinn, who himself is a false teacher. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe next in Chicago, Illinois. Joe is listening, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Hank, appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
Question about self-identifying. If the liberal viewpoint is that you can self-identify your gender, why were they so outraged last year when a gal in Washington State, Rachel Dolezal, self-identified as a black person, even though she was white, and was head of the NAACP until her parents kind of brought it to the national media attention? Do you recall that?
I do recall that. In fact, this is the former president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP, in Spokane. And you're right, she identified as black, though she acknowledged that she was born white. And she contended her chosen racial identity as black, that this was genuine, that it was not based on biology or ancestry. She was upfront with this. But look, in an epoch of time in which feelings determine reality, as opposed to biology determining reality, you can suppose anything that you want. I mean, at the end of the day, it turns out to be quite ludicrous. I mean, I think about Stephen Curry, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, plays for the Golden State Warriors. I've played him many times in golf, and believe it or not, 5-10 years ago, I could beat him. Last time I played him, we ended up on the 12th hole in the dark, and we called it a draw. But if he challenged me to a game of three-point shooting, no matter how my feelings were that I could beat him, I would lose every single time. My biology will not allow me to beat him. And the reason is I am now approaching 66 years of age. He's still a young pup. He's got an NBA body. There's no way, irregardless of how I feel, that I will ever beat him in his chosen vocation. He's just far better than I am. And he's going to beat me every time, 100% of the time, unless someone's standing on him. So feelings do not determine reality. And unfortunately, we live now in a culture in which we're told that our feelings, our first-person subjective consciousness, determines what is and what is not real. And the worst example of this, it is absolutely incredible. When you have the president of the most powerful country in the world now forcing this narrative on us. It's not a suggestion, it is a force. If you live in North Carolina, where I live, we have suffered the loss of billions. That's with a B. Billions of dollars in actual and potential funding as a result of H-2B. Billions of dollars. And now you have the NBA threatening to withhold a game that has been scheduled to be played in Charlotte, North Carolina, the NBA All-Star Game, threatening to pull it and bring it to another venue, because unless you are willing to concede to the politically correct narrative, you are going to pay the price, and really pay the price. So we live in a culture in which black has become white and white has become black. We have turned reality around in such a way that we don't know what direction we're looking anymore. And the only way...
Rachel Dolezal last year, if I could comment, the liberal media seemed to roundly criticize her for claiming to be black. So they were grounded in reality on topic of race, but not on the topic of gender. And I wonder if you have any insight into that, or if we can use that as an argument.
Well, yeah, you can use that as an argument, but it just shows how inconsistent. That's the whole point. You can't live consistently by these kinds of paradigms. They simply do not cohere with that which is true. So she has every right, based on the paradigm or the cultural narrative, to say that she is black, even though that's not her ancestry. She has every right to say that according to the narrative. So it's an ironic twist that the thought police criticized her in the first place.
Very good. Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Interesting questions, because we are talking about a topsy-turvy world. And how do you set it right? The only way we can set this right is to be faithful. How do you be faithful? You learn discernment skills. You get into the Word of God. You get the Word of God into you. You learn how to think clearly and critically. And you had to be willing to pay a price. I mean, you think about what turned a civilization upside down in the first century. I mean, that was a really ghastly situation. Female babies were dying at the feet of the statue of Nero. How'd they turn that empire upside down? Well, people believed that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was real. They knew they would be raised from the dead, so they were not living for mean earthly vanities, but for eternal verities. And ultimately, because they counted not their lives worthy even unto death, they were able to change the culture. So we can't look at this as a lost cause. Certainly looks like it. But we can make a difference. We can take a stand. That's why we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned.
There is a growing belief in Western culture that computers eventually will become conscious. In the past 3 years alone, people from opposite ends of the social spectrum have expressed both dread and hope about this occurring. Wherever the topic of artificial intelligence arises, so do spiritual questions, and the answers depend largely on one's presuppositions about the soul. Read the article, Digital Souls: What Should Christians Believe About Artificial Intelligence, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Do
Did you know that neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis entirely without factual support? It is certainly not a self-evident axiom. However, philosophical naturalists have an iron grip on Western scientists who indoctrinate millions of students in universities and college campuses with this scientific religion. To equip you in this battle for truth, receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design by Thomas Woodward, or The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are many different views of the good life, the kind of life that enables human beings to achieve their full potential. Should a secular state support only those views that are non-religious? Or might it be that all such views, when considered more deeply, are religious in nature? Other topics include, did the apostles really die as martyrs for their faith? Rape and sexual violence on campus? What should Christians believe about artificial intelligence? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The willingness of our Lord's original disciples to suffer and die for their faith is one of the most commonly cited lines of argument for the resurrection. But how do we really know that they were killed for their testimony about Jesus Christ? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we return to our phone callers. Next up is Kenny, listening in Missouri on Bud Radio. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I really enjoyed your program, and I'm sorry I missed part of the prologue, but you know, the thing that I thought about was the fact that we get so wound up about dates, times, and who's going to be and what's going to happen. When we look at the scripture and we look at Matthew 24 and 25, and of course the first chapter in Acts, when Jesus said, nobody knows. And, you know, and he said, watch and pray and be ready. And I think sometimes we put so much effort, not you, I'm not saying you, but we put so much effort into worrying about what's going to happen instead of about winning souls. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you could have said it much better than you just did. I mean, first of all, we do not know when Jesus will appear a second time. We just know that he will, as the writer of Hebrews makes plain, appear a second time. And when he does, he'll put all things to right. But in this meantime, we're called to be faithful and fruitful. And that's precisely what you just said, that we are to proclaim the gospel message. But the ABC of what we're about in terms of the issue of truth is apologetics. This is a culture in which we have to be ready to give an answer. The answer is pre-evangelism. It opens the door to be able to share the gospel. So in this post-Christian culture, you have to be able to demonstrate that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. You also have to be biblically literate, which is to say the Bible's under attack, and oftentimes because people set up straw man arguments. They take the Bible and they rip texts out of their intended context to make the Bible seem outdated, antiquated, or altogether foolish. So we need to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, and then we have to be able to counter cults and world religions, which have gained enormous credibility in our culture. You think about the fact that the Obama administration, while ridiculing Christianity on many different levels, has been lauding Islam. So we have to be able to demonstrate the difference between world religions and that which corresponds to reality, the Christian worldview. The issue, though, gets back to what you said so concisely. We have to proclaim the truth and do that with gentleness and with respect.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about premillennial, amillennial, and one thing or another, but you may enjoy this. I'm max millennial. Max, no difference. It's going to happen the way God wants it to.
But I do think it does make a difference. I used to think it was clever when people say I'm pan-millennial, however it pans out. But, you know, I think it does make a difference because you think about the pre-tribulationalists who were so committed to their cause that they decided that they would not have health insurance or they would not provide for college for their children because there wasn't any possibility that the children were going to go to college because they had determined that 1948 was the marker. You add 40 years to that, you have 1988, you subtract 7 years for a tribulation, 1981, and so that was the date. That didn't work out. The next golden date was 1967. You add 40 and subtract 7. 2000 was the magic number. Couldn't have been more perfect 4,000 years before Christ, and then 2,000 years after Christ, and then 1,000-year millennial, you have 7 days, quote-unquote, and all these things seem to work out perfectly in these schemes or paradigms. Well, it didn't work out so perfectly. And so the people who made life decisions, no longer they opted out of all kinds of programs that could have been helping them at the end of their careers, and now they are facing the stark consequences of decisions based on paradigms they believed in. So it does make a difference. What you think has consequences, not only in terms of how it affects other people. Think about the number of people that have been turned off to Christianity because one false prophecy after another, finally thinking, well, if the Christians are making false prophecies, well, maybe the Bible is false in its prophecies as well. It's not a normal deduction. It's not a rational deduction, but it is the kind of thing that people are led to in their thinking. If Christians can be this deceived, Christianity must be deceptive in and of itself.
I agree 100%. I wasn't making a light of the fact. We need to live like we're living in the last days. We need to also prepare and keep, so if we, the last days go on longer than what people have predicted, that we are prepared to live a life that is pleasing to God and one that reflects Him and one that searches out people. And the apologetics part of it is so, so important. People take what other people say from Scripture and they never check it out themselves.
Yeah.
They don't know how to check it out themselves.
Yeah, that's well said, Kenny. I mean, I've echoed something similar to what you just said so eloquently, and that is that we should be prepared as though Christ might come in the next millisecond, but prepare as though His coming is a long way off. So I deeply appreciate your comments. I'm sure they're helpful to our audience.
Hey, thanks so much for letting me have the time, Hank, and I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate your call. By the way, I'm going to stay here for an extra hour today once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if I don't get to you in this hour, I will get to you. And for those that want to call in for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. Back at the phone lines, Al, Washington, D.C., Bot Radio. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff?
Doing okay.
I was wondering, so it's pretty obvious where our temptation comes from, you know, coming from Satan. But I was wondering if there was no Satan before Satan, I mean, where did his temptation come from?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And we are faced, as you correctly point out, with temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the devil had volition as well. He was tempted to bring glory to himself, to bring adulation and worship to himself, as opposed to glory going to the one who created him. So he had volition, and because he had volition, there was the potential for evil, which he actualized by the choice that he made to garner worship for himself as opposed to what he was created to do, what we're all created to do, worship God alone.
Ah, so that is to say that he didn't create sin, he just actualized.
That's right. God created, excuse me, I swallowed the wrong way. God created the potential for evil. I'm opening a bottle of water and spilling it all over myself now. Hang on one sec.
It's okay.
God created the potential for evil. Live radio, you know, what can you do? God created the potential for evil, but human beings actualized that evil by their choices. And the same thing can be said with Satan. Satan was created as a volitional being and actualized evil by his choice.
Gotcha. Well, thank you very much for answering my question.
You're welcome. Wow, that was fun. I just spilled water all over the desk and all over myself, and I didn't quite get much down my throat. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Reagan in Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Reagan.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff?
Doing well.
First off, just want to say that, you know, I've been listening to your program for quite a while now and actually have learned to read the Bible now.
Wow.
For all it's worth, and stuff that I grew up learning, you know, about the rapture and all this, when you actually read the passage about it, it doesn't make no sense.
You got to kind of force the paradigm on the scripture as opposed to extracting it from the scripture, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely changed my life for the good, because now I can read it and understand it. So, you know, I just want to say thank you first off for, being able to listen to your program and to be able to read it, like you say to read it. It's just, it's changed my life for the good, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, it's my privilege, and of course, you know, I'm not alone. I've said this many times. There's great staff at the Christian Research Institute, and then there are the people that make this possible by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. But thank you.
That is absolutely true. My question is I read a article on the internet about the Presbyterian Church, PCUSA.
Mm-hmm.
One in five members are leaving that denomination. And I actually attend a PCA church, a Presbyterian church in America. But my question is, one in five are leaving that denomination, and I was just wondering why that was happening.
Well, they have nothing to offer. I mean, they've denuded the Bible of anything significant. You think about the fact that they have taken the supernatural out of the scriptures. So now you have the incarnation, by and large, not all PCUSA pastors, but generally they've demythologized it, and this becomes a nice story, might have an application, but there's no reality. If there is no reality to the incarnation, if there's no reality to resurrection, you know what Paul says? We have no hope. We're among all men most miserable. We are yet dead in our sins. He says are preaching is useless and so is your faith. I mean, that's pretty clear. You take the supernatural out of the Bible, then there's no real hope for resurrection. And if there's no real hope for resurrection, why bother? Why not do as Paul said, if this is not so, that Christ rose from the dead, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. So why go to church? You look at the mainline denominations, their attrition rate is absolutely incredible. And thankfully, the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, has done just the opposite. They have stood with consistency for the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and as a result of that, there are fantastic, thriving PCA churches around the world.
Well, I will tell you this, that, and I don't want to take anything away from any denomination, and I don't mean that with what I'm about to say, but I've only been going to this church for probably 6 months, maybe. And before that, I was going to United Methodist Church. I went there for a couple of years, but in that time, just by going between those two separate churches, I have learned more about the Bible and about the good Lord above than from the previous years of going to Pentecostal churches. And then, like I said, I don't want to take nothing away from the Pentecostal churches, but it kept me confused most of the time. And I read the scripture.
Makes a difference, doesn't it? Reagan, I'm going to have to leave it at that. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, and it sounds rude, but I'm just out of time. I am going to stay here, though, for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. And for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Please stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Together, we're making a difference. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In China, we can criticize Darwin, but not the government. In America, you can criticize the government, but not Darwin. That's the sobering quip from paleontologist Zhenyuan Chen, contrasting the academic freedoms of China and the United States. It shows how the atheistic religion of philosophical naturalism, with its Darwinian evolutionary origins myth, has an iron grip on countless professors and educators in the U.S. Receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward, or the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The willingness of our Lord's original disciples to suffer and die for their faith is one of the most commonly cited lines of argument for the resurrection. But how do we really know that they were killed for their testimony about Jesus Christ? Other topics include digital souls, what should Christians believe about artificial intelligence, how to read historical narrative, developing an agile apologetic, human flourishing and the myth of religious neutrality, and much more.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.